We're holding on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, beginning the seventh perek. The topic of this perek is going to be when a person sells land and various irregularities that there might be in the size or shape or whatever of the land. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'omer l'chaveiro," a person says to somebody else, and we're talking about, he tells him when he's actually selling it, not just that he tells him in advance, let's say, it points out the ritva, otherwise obviously what he says is not necessarily binding, but we're talking about at the time of the sale, he tells him, "Base core offer ani moicholoch, I'm selling you a base core of dirt." Now, base core is going to be, we know there's a base saw and base sasayim, those come up in connection with Hilchos Shabbos and other areas. A base sasayim, an area where you can plant two saw, is the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan, 100 by 50 amos, so 5,000 square amos. A core contains 30 saw, so therefore a base core would be 15 times that size, so it would be 75,000 square amos. If you make a square of it, it would be about 274 amos on a side. Roughly speaking, given that according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, an amma is about a foot and a half, then 270 some feet would come out to around 270 some amos would come out to around 400 feet. So you're talking about a square approximately 400 feet on a side, according to him, and approximately 550 feet on a side, according to the Chazon Ish. So you're talking about the size of maybe a square block or a square block or a block and a half or so. Anyway, that's a base core. So he tells him, I'm selling you a base core of dirt. Now, why does he mention the word dirt? That Ashbam points out, because here we're going to be discussing in the Mishnah whether all of it is able to be planted. What about, so we're going to talk about some of it as rocks, some of it is ditches and things like that. If he hadn't said the word offer, says Ashbam, then it wouldn't matter even if all of it was rocky. We would say the sale is a valid sale because the seller could say, listen, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you wanted it in order to build a house, in order to spread out payers to dry or whatever. So if you didn't know that's your problem, you should have gone and checked it out. And the Rashbam says the same thing if he says the word karka. Now Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, on the contrary, what it means is, even without most Rishonim disagree with the Rashbam on that. They say even if he doesn't say offer, nevertheless, it still has to be cultivatable land. Tosfos points out then that the chiddush is just by using the word offer is just the opposite. Even though he's using the word offer, and that would seem to imply that all of it is cultivatable, nevertheless, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, if you have rocks in it below a certain height or ditches in it below a certain depth, then they do count with it. We're not going to say that it has to be completely smooth, because as the Rashbam points out later on, the Gemara has an expression that the Gemara has an expression as far as Rishus Rabim, we can apply it equally well here to a field, that, you know, it's not like it's going to be shaved smooth with a razor or a plane or something like that. Inevitably, there's going to be a little bit of ups and downs in a field. Anyway, so again, according to the Rashbam, offer means without the word offer, he could give him all uncultivatable land. And according to Tosfos, by saying the word offer, he means that nevertheless, if parts of it are less cultivatable than others, but still not significant enough to be counted in their own right, because they're less than 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep, then they count with it. The Rashba says it may just be that the style of saying base core offer was the style, how people spoke in those days, and there's no particular significance to him using the word offer or not. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. So now if there were ditches or lower areas in the field that are 10 tfachim or more deep, or there are rocks that are 10 tfachim or more tall, then they don't get measured together with it. Now, what does that mean? So the Rashbam learns that what it means is, so in other words, the Rashbam says he would have to give him a base core of smooth land, or at least smooth within those tolerances of 10 tfachim. Because first of all, the Rashbam also points out we have to be talking about where the rock or the ditch is not only at least 10 tefachim tall or deep, but also at least 4 by 4 tefachim. So then it counts as a separate reshus as far as Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore, it counts as a separate thing as far as this as well. That's the Rashami says such a thing as well. Rishonim discuss that maybe we accept that, or maybe actually we say that even if they're less than 4 by 4, then not. Now again, this Einim Dodin Ima, the Rashbam takes the view that what that means is that that we don't measure them with it at all, in the sense that Rashbam says that he has to give him flat land, and meaning, in other words, then so what would happen with these areas. So there's a few different opinions among Rishonim what he actually would do with it. So the Rashbam learns that So the Rashbam learns basically that they would that they he has to give him flat land, and then they are included, and then they're included together with it. The Rashbam just says he has to give him a base court of flat land. He doesn't specify what happens with these places. The Rambam learns that it means that he has to throw them in for free, because they're basically they're bottle to the land. The Rosh learns that he can give him a base core. He gives him a base core. It's true, not counting those ditches or those rocks. But he could be even that they could be surrounded in the they could even be surrounded in the middle of the field. The buyer can't say, you know what, I want completely flat land without these kinds of things, as long as the Rosh says. Now, it does have to be that they don't separate all the way from one end of the field to the other, because then the guy's not going to be able to plow. The whole point is he wants to be able to plow all the field together. But in any case, the Rosh learns that means that he can give him he does give him the land together with the ditches. But the idea then, the ditches don't count towards the base core, but it's fine even though the ditches are in the middle of the field here and there, and the other person can't say that, no, I demand flat land without any ditches at all, unlike the Rashbam says. The Rashbam would learn, in other words, that he would have to give him a different field that has no ditches of the or rocks of this kind at all. The Rosh is saying it's fine to give him that kind. The Rambam is saying he gives him that and throws these in for free. And then the Ravid actually learns that the ditches and rocks would stay in the Rishus of the seller, and then actually we would tell the buyer that he has to buy them from the from him and pay extra for them, because otherwise what is the other guy going to do with them? Anyway, Kochus Mikan, if they're less than those sizes, less than 10 tefachim, nimdodin ima, then they're measured together with it, meaning they count towards the base core, because again, it's impossible for a piece of land to be precisely flat. Inevitably, there are going to be some highs and lows in it. And therefore, even though he said base core offer, or even though whatever, he expects to get cultivatable land, nevertheless, those are included. The Rashba, by the way, points out in this connection, you know, even so you could say, so what's the problem? If there's a ditch, you can still plant at the bottom of the ditch. It's still cultivatable. But the thing is, then the buyer can say, if it's 10 tefachim deep, it's too much of a hassle for me to get to take my plow and bring it to the bottom over there and start all over again. And I don't want to buy a field under those conditions where, in effect, I have to work it as though it was two separate fields. Anyway, so that's when he said base core offer. Vim omele kivase kur offer. What if he added a chof and said that I'm selling you about a base court of land? So then, then even if there are ditches 10 or more tefachim deep, or rocks 10 or more tefachim tall, then they still get measured with it, because now that he said base core, then it makes it clear that it doesn't have to be exactly a base core, and therefore there's more leeway over here. The Rashbam does add, now it is true though that it would have to be that we're going to learn in the Gemara, there has to be a certain maximum area, a certain maximum percentage of the field that is made up of these ditches or rocks, and more than that, it's not a valid sale. So, and the amount the Gemara says is four kavim within a base core would come to 1/45, a little over 2%. So to that, it can't be more than that, but they can be within that 1/45 or less. There can be ditches that are deeper than 10 tefachim, or rocks that are taller than 10 tefachim, and they still count towards the base core. The Ritva brings actually from his Rebbe, which is from his Rebbe, which is Rabbi Yonah, I think that when the Mishnah says over here afilu, it doesn't mean no matter how tall or how deep they are. It means if they're exactly 10 tefachim deep or exactly 10 tefachim tall. Not necessarily. He says that if they were any deeper or any taller than that, even when he says kibbeis kor ofer, they still wouldn't count. All right. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion as far as the dinim of Sdei Achuza, and then we're gonna compare that with our Mishnah. The din of Sdei Achuza, the pasuk tells us in Parshas Bechukosai, if a person donates to Hekdesh a field that he inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, then when he or anybody comes to buy it back from Hekdesh, we don't value it at its market value. And then some lands are better than others. Rather, the Torah establishes a fixed price, 50 sloyim for every base kor, and that's if it's right after Yovel, and then it's prorated down by one sela and one punya, and a punya is 1/48 of a sela every year. So if he's makdish it right after Yovel, and then he buys it back from Hekdesh 10 years later, then he's going to be paying Hekdesh 40 sloyim and 40 punyonis. Plus, if he himself is the owner and is buying it back, he's adding a chomesh. We're not dealing with that. In any case, that's the din of Sdei Achuza. And then you have also the din that if he doesn't buy it back by Yovel, then it gets given to the kohenim of that kohenim of the mishmer that's on duty when Yom Kippur of Yovel comes. Anyway, so now we're going to deal with when it comes to dinim of Sdei Achuza. Also, we have a similar discussion to our Mishnah about what counts towards the base court and whatnot. So the Mishnah says, so the Gemara says Tznan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Erechin, Hamakdish Sadehu Bishasa Yovel, when a person is makdish his field when Yovel is in effect, as opposed to, that Ashbam points out, once Yovel is not in effect, once Shevet Reuven and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, and then after that, there was only one time in Yoshiyahu's times, about 30-odd years before the Churban, when Yirmiyahu brought a bunch of them back, and then there was one more Yovel, but other than that, since then, Yovel has not been in effect. So when Yovel is not in effect, then you don't have these dinim of Sdei Achuza, because then it's never going to come a time when it goes to the Kohenim. So then instead, we always tell the Balabas to make an opening bid to buy it back from Hekdesh, and then other people bid as well, and we deal the dinim over there that are outlined in Masechta Erchin. So here we're talking about when Yovel is in effect. So then, as the pasuk says, for every place where you can plant a chomer is another name for a kur of grain, you pay 50 shekel of silver, meaning, in other words, that's, again, if it's right after Yovel, if it's years after Yovel, then you prorate it accordingly. The Rashbam points out, by the way, there's the girsa over here is Bishas HaYovel, not Bishnas HaYovel, because Bishnas HaYovel would mean he's makdish it in Yovel year itself, and you actually have a machlokas whether Hekdesh is effective in the year of Yovel. Tosfos says you could still say Bishnas HaYovel means the year after Yovel. In any case, the point is the Torah fixes the price for the field, no matter how good or bad quality it is, at 50 sloyim for a base kor, and then that's when you still have 50 years left to Yovel, and when you have fewer years left to Yovel, then it's adjusted down accordingly. The Mishnah continues, Hoyusham Nekoyim Amukim Yud Tfachim, if you have ditches in the field that are 10 tfachim deep, like in our Mishnah, Oysloim Groim Yud Tfachim, or rocks that are 10 tfachim tall, Einim Dodin Ima, then we don't count, that we don't measure them together with it. And if they're shorter or shallower than that, nimdad and ima, then they do get measured together with it. Now the Rashbam explains what is the ein nimdad and ima or nimdad and ima doesn't mean that they don't become part of the hekdesh. Here in our Mishnah, we can discuss whether it means that the ditches and whatever are included with the sale of the field according to the different rishonim that we were discussing before. When it comes to hekdesh, there's no question they're included. We learned, after all, where we learned at the end of the fourth perek, we learned back on daf ayin aleph, that when a person was makdish a field, he's makdish even, we said, there was a burr, there was a water pit in the field, there's a gas, a wine press or whatever. So certainly these nekoyim and so forth would be included. So the question is not whether they're included, says the Rashbam. Rather, the question is, do we measure, do we value them at the same valuation that the Torah says of 50 sloyim per base kur, because instead we would count them as a separate field. So that's the question. So the question is, why would we not include them together with the field? Likdashu ba'ape nafshaihu. Why wouldn't they become kodesh? Why wouldn't they become hektish on their own? So meaning, in other words, so the Rashbam explains, the question would be that we should still do them at the same rate, which means, in other words, we would still apply the same rate of 50, at least when it comes to ditches where you could plant them. So what we should figure is like this, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, this value of 50 sloyim per base kur, we not only adjust it downward over the years, we also adjust it downward based on the size of the field. If, let's say, for example, instead of base kur, what if a person was makdish a field which is the size of half a kur? Then it would be 25 sloyim for the 50 years, and then go down by a half a sela and a half a punyan per year, and so forth, depending what percentage of a base core we're talking about. So the Gemara's question is, we should figure out the area of these ditches, even if they are of 10 tfachim or more deep. Nevertheless, we should still count them up, figure out how much land area they are, because after all, you could plant the bottom of them. They should become kodesh, and be valued at the same value of Zerach Choy Masa'urim B'Chamishim Shekel Kosef. And all it is we would say, they would be considered separate fields insofar as if you wanted to buy one back from Hekdesh without the other, then you would be able to. Like this, for example, the Rashbam is saying that if you makdish a complete field, and let's say there are no ditches and no nothing, so the whole thing goes to Hekdesh. If later on you want to buy it back from Hekdesh, then you have to buy back the whole thing. You can't go to Hekdesh and say, I have half the money, let me have back half my field. So therefore, but over here, we should say that the ditches count as separate fields of their own, and therefore you should be able to buy them back separately from Hekdesh. So why not? When we say Eidnim Dodin Ima, when we say we don't measure them at all, means they don't have the rule of Sdei Achuza. Instead, we just figure out their actual market value, and that would be the amount that he pays Hekdesh, and they don't have the special rules of Sdei Achuza. Why not? Now that's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara elsewhere says that you could buy half the field back from Hekdesh. So how is the Rashbam saying over here that you can't? So rather, Tosfos explains the question, "V'liktishu ba'apin nafshayu," means you're saying they count separately, and therefore they don't measure with it. But why? Why indeed shouldn't we say that they become kodesh together with the rest of the field, and you could actually the question is, in other words, fine, you don't consider them part of the field, but it should take effect on the entire area because he was makdish the whole field. So the Rashbam said that even the Gemara in the question knew that that's the case. But here Tosfos seems to be learning that the Makshin in the Gemara had assumed that maybe they don't become kodesh. And the question is, why not? Why shouldn't they at least become kodesh with the rest of the field? Fine, they may be considered a separate field, but they should at least become kodesh. And then there are Rishonim who discuss that maybe when the Gemara says, the Tosfos is bringing from a Gemara in Kiddushin, that you can redeem half the field. So maybe it doesn't mean that you can actually redeem half of it. All it means, in other words, is that you can tell Hekdesh, as a result of me having paid half the money, I know I don't get back the field right away, but when Yovel comes, if I haven't bought back the other half of it, then at least only that half that I haven't paid for yet should go to the Kohenim, and I should be able to get back the one half, and that would work. But not to say that he would get it on the spot, the way that Tosfos seems to be learning. So now it would be a nafkamina. Therefore, do we consider these ditches to be a separate field or not, as far as that aspect of the din? Anyway, so that's the Gemara's question, that they should become kodesh on their, they should become hektish on their own, meaning, in other words, again, according to the Rashbam, it should be considered like it was makdish two fields, one the flat land and one the ditches, and each one you could buy back from hektish separately. According to Tosfos, the question is that they should actually be considered part of the field and count towards the base core, because after all, they're plantable. So the Gemara continues, you're going to answer maybe because these ditches themselves are not the size of a full base kur, therefore they don't become Kurdish in the first place. Maybe the whole concept of steachosa only applies to a field the full size of a base kur, 75,000 square amas. But no, v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, soda matamadlema, when the Pasuk says that a person is machdish a field. So actually the pasuk says at the end, after it describes how he was machdish the field, it says vim go yigal as a sode a machdish osef. The one who is machdish it redeems the field. Now, why do you have to add the word the field? That's what we were talking about, a field. So what do we learn from that? Is lefisha nema zerachoy masaorim since earlier the Pasuk had said this concept of a base core, an area where you could plant a core, otherwise known as a choymer, and that's worth 50, you would only know from the Pasuk only if it was makdish an actual base core. How do we know if he was makdish an area where you could plant a lesech, which is a half a core, 15 sa, or half of that, saw, or an area where you could plant only one saw, where a base saw would be 50 by 50 amos, Tarkov, or Tarkov, which we've learned previously. We had a sugya a couple of weeks back about the weights and measurements, and a Tarkov over there was defined as three kavim. Tarkov stands for treva kav, meaning two kavim plus another kav, so it equals three kavim, which is half a saw. So that, v'chatzi Tarkov, or even a half a Tarkov, how do we know that all of those also, the same din applies, and we divide down the amounts that the Gemara that the Pasuk is saying accordingly. So again, for example, he was makdish a saw is 1/30th of a saw is 1/30th of a base core. A saw is 1/30th of a kur, so therefore we would divide the 50 sloyim by 30, and we would say that he's paying 1.6 whatever it is 1.6 sloyim per year for this base saw. Anyway, Talmud Lama Sada Mikamakim. Therefore, the Pasuk says the word Sada, when he buys back the Sada, implying no matter what, we always use the same valuation. So the question was, in other words, again, we're talking about he was Makdish. Let's say he was Makdish, a complete base core. In it, there are ditches. The ditches, we're saying, amounts to are 10 tefachim deep. And they amount to a significant area in their own right. So we're saying ein nimdod and ima, we don't measure them together with the field, meaning that when we figure out the area of the base core, we don't count them. Instead, they're something separate given to Hekdish. So why don't we count them as part of the field? And why don't we say that? We should value them, or at least we should say we should value them at the same rate? Instead, ein nimdod and ima suggests that we don't count them at the rate of the Sdeachuza at all, rather we figure out the actual fair market value, and that's the amount that he would give to Hekdish to buy it back. So why is that? And the answer is Omar Rav Ukva Bachama, Pacham and Koyim Malay Mayim Skinan, because we're talking about in that Mishnah in Erchin, we're talking about where the ditches are filled with water, Delav B'nei Zriyan Ninhu, so therefore you can't plant in them. So the Pasuk at least says Zerach Choyim Asa'urim, implying an area where you could plant. Here you can't plant. Now, Mephoshim do point out, we have to be talking about where it's not like you can use these to water the field either. If you use them to water the field, then the Rashba and the Ran point out, then obviously they do count as part of the field because they're serving it. So we're talking about where, for whatever reason, these ditches are not suitable for irrigating the field. So that's why the Mishnah is saying that they don't count. Instead, what we figure out is the fair market value of such land, and that's the amount that he would give Hekdish for those parts. And then for the rest of it, we would figure the area of Zerachoy Masorim, and he would pay Hekdish accordingly. And the Gemara points out Dekanami. In fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah, the Katani Dumya Desloyim, because the Mishnah in Erchin mentions these ditches in the same sentence as it mentions rocks, and the rocks, which are 10 tefachim or more tall, are not plantable. So the same way, we have to be talking about that these ditches are not plantable either. So Shmaminos are good, that proves it. So the question is then, then if it's a matter of that they're not plantable, then what's the difference if they're below 10 tefachim or above it? The Mishnah in Erchin had said that only if the ditches are 10 tefachim deep or deeper, and only if the rocks are 10 tefachim tall or taller, do they not count as part of the base core. implying that if they're so if they're less than that, then they are counted. Why? The fact is, you can't plant them either. They're full of water, or they're rocks, as the case may be. Tosfos is actually bothered by the question why the Gemara uses the word ihachi. The word, the expression ihachi in Gemara terminology means if so, meaning once we've established a certain answer, then we can ask that if so, then how does your answer fit with the following fact? Here, even before the question would be the question would be on the rocks. Even before we establish that the ditches are full of water and can't be planted, the fact is you could have the same question on the rocks in the first place, because you can't plant on top of rocks, and therefore why is the Gemara even using the expression? Why is the Gemara using the expression ihachi, as if to suggest that only once we have the previous answer, only then does this question come up. So Tosfos says, okay, sometimes the Gemara will use the word ihachi in a looser sense like that to mean not if so. It's really more like v'litai mech, new, and according to your svara, the question is always from the rocks. The Ran explains that without that, the Gemara could have assumed that sometimes you do have rocks that are easily breakable, and therefore that you can plant there. And now we're saying that it seems that not, the same way as the ditches are apparently full of water in a way that you can't easily drain them and plant over there, the same way the rocks are ones where. So now the Gemara is asking, if so, then the rocks, preposterous, mean even ones that are never going to be plantable. And if so, then even if they're below 10 tefachim, why should they count towards the field? And the answer is Hanu Nagani de Aramikru, Shedri de Aramikru. Because the answer is, when they're less than 10 tefachim, then in the case of the ditches, they're just called the Nagani of the land. Nagani, as Rashi elsewhere explains, is a loshon of you have a loshon and a pasuk agonos, which means basins. When at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, when it describes what happened with the couple of days before the Torah was given, that it describes how Moshe brought korbanos on behalf of the Jewish people and placed the blood in agonos, which are basins. So therefore, Nagani is the same word basically. So it means they're called the basins of the land, meaning, in other words, or here the Rashbam translates it as the splits, cracks in the land, meaning they're not called something of their own. They're bottle to the land. And similarly, Shedri da'ara mikru, similarly, the rocks are called the spines of the land, meaning, in other words, again, you're never going to have land that's perfectly flat. There's always going to be a little bit of irregularity. So therefore, so when they're below 10 tefachim, then they're completely bottle to the land, and therefore we don't care the fact that these particular areas are not plantable, as long as the Gemara is going to go on to say, there's not too much of them. When they're more than 10 tefachim tall, or more than 10 tefachim deep, as the case may be, then already they're not so bottle to the land. So then we can talk about whether they're plantable or not, and whether they count towards the base court or not. Okay. So now that we've worked all that out in connection with the Mishnah and Erchin, in connection with the Dinim of Sdei Achuza, now the question becomes, Hochamai, in our Mishnah, so the main point was that we established that the Mishnah in Erchin, when it mentions ditches, 10 tefachim deep, the reason they don't count as part of the field, the reason why they have to be valued separately, is because they're full of water, and therefore you can't plant in them. Now there, the Pasuk says the word Zera. Here in our Mishnah, we're not talking about dinim that are based on a Pasuk. So now the question is, Hochamai, so what's the din over here? Does the same din apply that the ditches of our Mishnah, which are 10 tefachim deep, don't count as far as the base, as part of the base core, only when they're filled with water? Or maybe in our Mishnah, is it different? Amar Papa, afa pishein maleim mayim. So the Papa says, no, in our Mishnah, it wouldn't matter whether they're filled with water or not. Either way, my timer, because the reason is, a person doesn't want to pay land for one piece of land, to pay money for one piece of land, and it's going to look like two or three places, because you're going to have some parts are higher and some parts are lower. There's a lot of tircha, in other words, when it comes to, in general, when it comes to managing two fields, there's a lot more tircha in two fields than in one. You have to plow them separately and plant them separately and harvest them separately and so forth. So here, when you have ditches 10 tefachim deep, then the Mishnah is saying that, no, you said it. You said I'm selling a base core of of arable land, cultivatable land, then no, it has to be that it's all something that can be managed all at once, so at least something fine. If the ditches are less than 10 tefachim deep, it might be a little of a hassle to deal with them, but you have to realize that land is inherently going to have some irregularities, but once you have a difference of 10 tefachim, then already the buyer could say, that's not what I expected to get. But the Gemara says maski for Ravina, but Ravina has a question on that. V'hadumya disloyim katoni. What do you mean? The fact is, the Mishnah is mentioning the ditches again, just like in the Mishnah in Erchon. It's mentioning the ditches in the same breath as it does the rocks. Masloyim d'labnei zriyaninu afhani nami d'labnei zriyaninu. So just like rocks are not plantable, it has to be that these ditches are not plantable either. So what are you telling me that this din would apply? Even if the ditches are not filled with water, it's one thing by Zeachoza where the Pasuk uses the word Zera. But here, where it's just a matter of that it has to be cultivatable, so fine. As long as it's cultivatable, as long as it's not filled with water, why shouldn't it count towards the base quarter? So the answer is Kikatani, Dumi Disloim, Apochas Mikan. Fine. You know what? When it says when the Mishnah mentions the ditches in the same when the Mishnah mentions the ditches in the same breath as the sloyim, that means as far as the pochas mikan, as far as the dinim, that as far as the din, that if the that if the ditches or the rocks are less than 10 tefachim different than the rest of the ground level, then we say they do measure together with it. So in other words, that's so in other words, the point is, even though now with rocks it shouldn't make a difference whether they're below or above 10 tefachim, either way they're not, either way you can't plant on them. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that if they're less than 10 tefachim tall, then they do count as part of the field, because again we say then they're just called shedri da'ara, then they're just called the spines of the land, and they're bottled to it. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah is putting the ditches together with them to say, in other words, that when they're less than 10 tefachim, the buyer could say, I didn't want to buy two fields. I wanted to buy one field. And this ditch, which is 9 tefachim deep, it's still a hassle for me to plow and plant and whatever separately. We tell them, tough luck. That's the way land inherently is. There's some irregularity in it. But it's not to say, in other words, that when it comes to It's not to say that when it comes to when they are 10 tefachim difference, that that it would have to be that the ditches are not plantable, are not cultivatable. No, even if they are, the fact that they're 10 tefachim deep is reason enough for him to say that that's not what I pay. That's not the kind of field that I expected to get, because I expected to get one field, not two or three. So in other words, so in one way, these ditches. So in other words, Rapapa is explaining, and the Gemara is clarifying to defend Rapapa. There's a difference after all between the ditches and the rocks. The rocks are not plantable at all, and nevertheless, and the din is, if they're below 10 tefachim, then we ignore them and they're still part of the sale, and if they're above 10 tefachim, then there's reason to say then we say they don't count as part, then we say they don't count as part of the base quarter. When it comes to ditches, if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, and either way, of course, the rocks are not plantable. When it comes to ditches, when they're less than 10 tefachim deep, then again, we say tough luck. They're part of the sale, whether you like it or not. You bought a base court of land, and these are part of that base court. Versus if they're 10 tefachim deep, even if they are plantable and not filled with water, nevertheless, he can say that that's not what I expected to get. And then you have the machlokas rishonim that we learned before about what would happen in that case, where according to the Rashbam, he would have the right to say, this is not the land that you're supposed to be selling me. You're supposed to be selling me land which is all flat, or at least all flat within the tolerances that we mentioned before. And then you have the different other opinions of the Rishonim, whether it means they get thrown in for free, or whether it means that, or on the contrary, the Ravid takes almost the opposite view, that they don't get thrown in for free and he actually has to pay separately for them. Or the Rosh says it means, in other words, that he would say, that this is the land I'm selling you. Yes, there are ditches here and there in the middle of it, or rocks here and there in the middle of it, but as long as you're able to plow the whole thing uninterruptedly, as long as there's enough space around the ditch or around the rock for you to be able to plow, then it's not my problem. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Pochas Mikan Nimdodinima, we said that if the ditches or the rocks are less than 10 tefachim tall, then they do get measured together with the field, meaning, in other words, that then we say that they do count towards the area of the base quarter. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Shloshim She'omru Beis Abbas Kabin. When we're talking about rocky areas, the maximum that they can be, even if they're less than 10 tefachim tall, the maximum area that they can take up in the field would be a space of 4 kavim. Now a core contains 180 kav, because there are 6 kav to the saw and 30 saw to the core. So therefore, it's a 4 out of 180 is 1 in 45. So a maximum of 1/45th of the field can be rocks, even if they're less than 10 tefachim. There's different other opinions in it. There's an explanation that learns the Rambam differently and says that the Rambam says that 4 kavim is always regardless of the size of the field. Anyway. Omar of Ukva Bachoma Voshim of Loin Bachamesh's cabin. Now Rav Ukva Bachoma says that it has to be though that in order for that the four cabin can't be all concentrated in one place. It has to be that they're absorbed, meaning that they're spread out in an area of 5 cabin. So if you have an area of total 5 kavim and within the field, and 4 of that is rocks, then fine. Then as long as the rocks are below 10 tefachim, then he has to accept them as part of the base core. But not if they're more concentrated than that. Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Vushim of Loin Beruba Shal Sadeh. Rav Chiya Ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, only if they're incorporated into most of the field. So in other words, Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying that no, even if they're absorbed in an area, and the Rashbam adds, of course, according to Rav Ukva Chama, if they're spread out in an area of more than 5 kavim, so much the better. What we mean is, in other words, just that you can't have, for example, you can't have an area of the field of 4.5 kavim, of which 4 are rocks, then the buyer is not obligated to accept that. Then they're not bottled to the field. So now Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying that even if they're spread out more than that, they're not measured together with the field unless they're spread out throughout most of the field. So in other words, the Rashbam calculates a base core is 30 saw. So you'd have to have, if you have an area of 16 saw, and you have within each saw, you have 1/4 of a calf. So that across the 16 saw, you have 4 kavim, then fine, then that's spread out enough that they can be bottled to the field, because in addition, they're less than 10 tefachim. But if they're any more concentrated than that, then no, they wouldn't be bottled. Now, Rav Ukva Bachoma and Rav Chiya Ba'aba arguing, many Rishonim learn that they are. On the other hand, the Rif, and on the other hand, the Rif brings both opinions, and he only usually brings the opinion which is accepted lahalacha, and the Rambam also brings them, which means, in other words, according to them, you have to actually have both. You have to have the 4 kavim are embedded in an area of 5 kavim, and in turn embedded in the entire field. So, meaning, in other words, according to them, you would have to have that you wouldn't have like the way that Rashbam is describing over here, where you have, let's say, one small area of rock within each base saw. So the five kavim that we're saying, 5 kavim out of 180 is 1 in 36. So you'd have to have within that, you have to have that 5 kavim itself, within that, the 4 kavim are spread out, the 4 kavim within the 5 are spread out throughout the field. So you would have to have, in other words, wherever there are rocks, at least 1/5 of that area has to be dirt, has to be cultivatable dirt. And then that kind of thing is spread out throughout the field. So the Gemara says, Boy Rav Chiya Ba'aba. So Rav Chiya Ba'aba has a question in this connection. You're telling me, according to Rav Yochanan, that you need to have that they're spread out in most of the field. In other words, that you don't have too much of them concentrated in one area. What about Ruban b'mi'uto, mi'utan b'ruba? What about if most of the rocks are concentrated in a smaller area of the field? So let's say, for example, the Rashbam gives an example. Let's say, for example, you have a maximum of 4 kav of rocks allowed. four kav. If we divide the kav into quarters, we have 16 quarters. So what happens, for example, if you have nine of those quarters, ruban, nine out of 16 quarters, so that is to say 2 1/4 kavim spread out in less than 16 sa, or mi'otan, and then the remainder, the seven quarters that are left, beruba, are spread out in the majority. So in other words, what if they are in aggregate, if you look at the entire field, they are spread out in the proportions we said, but it's irregular, some one part of the field has them more concentrated, and the other has them less concentrated. So what would be the din? And the answer is the Gemara says teiku. So then we would say that... So then we would say, in other words, that the yad lekeach al tachtoina, and the lekeach, if he wants to be able to void the sale or get more land or whatever, is going to have to prove that the halacha is like the way he'd want, and obviously he can't do that since the Gemara has left it as teiku. Similarly, Rabbi Yumia asked a series of questions. Kesher mahu, what would happen if? Sure, the rocks are the rocky areas are spread out in the majority of the field, like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba had said. But what about instead of them? And what about if they're in a circular formation? So now the problem is they are spread out in the field, but on the other hand, it's very difficult to get into the middle of that circle over there and plow. The point is, in other words, now the Rashbam's diagram over here shows there are spaces between one part of the circle and the next. We're not talking about a solid ring, because obviously if it's a solid ring and he has to literally pick up the plow and put it down on the other side, then there's no question that would count as a separate field. The point is, though, that as the Rashbam's second diagram shows, usually how do you plow a field? You go in rows back and forth. You go in a checkerboard pattern, like. So here, when you have a circle of rocks that's in the middle, when you have rocks in various places in the field that amount to a circle, yes, you have spaces between them, but it's still not so easy to go and plow the area between them, because then you have to break up your shesi ve'erev, your back and forth pattern, in order to get in there. So do we count it? So does that count as part of the field or not? And he continues, kashura mahu. What happens if, instead of a circle, what if you have the rocks in a straight line? So now the problem is that, the Rashbam explains that this is an example of imtim tsaloma. The Gemara is not spelling out imtim tsaloma. If it did, then we'd have the answer to some of them in halacha. But the question would be, if you're going to assume that when it comes to a circle, then you're going to say that nevertheless we do count them, what about though when it's a straight line, where there that when you get close to that straight line, you can't really plow well. You can plow parallel to the line, but you can't plow anywhere near the line, basically. Or maybe you could. I'll dab chak. And another question, what about it's the dinin mahu? What about if instead the rocks, as they're spread out in the field in the various places, are like the horns of a bull? That's the third diagram in Rashbam. It's the din is related to the word stadium in English. It means like a bullfight. So therefore, it's the din comes to mean the horns of a bull. So then what would be the din? Where again, that's even more difficult to plow and to plant near it more than the previous two shapes. The Rimigash gives a different explanation. First of all, he says that it's the din could mean, yes, it would be a bull from a bullfight, but he says it means like a bull in a position like that. We're not talking about its horns, rather we're talking about that it splays out its legs to try and brace itself. So we'd be talking about where you have things sticking out. So similar to the Rashbam's diagram, but not thinking of it in terms of horns, but rather in terms of the legs of the animals. Then he says, anyway, the word it's the din in might actually be related to the word sad, which means a side. So in other words, we have things sticking out the sides. Anyway, and the last one, derech hakolosa in mahu, what about if you have a crooked thing, the fourth diagram in Rashbam, where you have like a W shape, where the rocks are arranged in a thing like that, where there it's going to be very, very difficult to plant near there. So each one of them, we have to ask, you have the total amount of walks is less than the amounts we said before. It's less than Abbas Cabin. It's less than 1/45th of the field, and it is spread out in the field, but nevertheless, it's spread out in such a pattern that makes it very difficult to plow or plant near there. Would that count towards the total area of the field? And again, the Gemara leaves all those tables. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, im hoya sela yechidi, if you have a single walk in the field. So now, till now, we've been talking about that there are walks less than 10 tefachim tall, and they count as part of the field, with the exceptions that we said, if they consist of more than four kavim, or if they're not spread out in the field. So now, im hoya sela yechidi, if you have next to the field, you have next to the field one individual walk, no matter what size, I feel a kol shehu, even if it's small, ein nimdan ima, then it doesn't count with it. Because in other words, when do we say it's bottled to the field? Only when it's in the middle of the field. Here, where it's outside the field, then we would say, then the buyer could well say, why are you measuring the base court, including that rock? You should start measuring the base court and giving the land beyond that rock. And that rock should not be part of the land that you're selling to me. And then the Rashbam explains, in other words, again, if it's in the middle of the field and it's less than 10 tefachim tall, then like the Gemara had said, I don't know what Aleph, we can call it Shedri Da'ara, we can call it like the spines of the land. But now when it's by the side, then it shouldn't be bottle in the first place. The Rashbam goes on to bring from his Rebbeim a different explanation that the Sela Yechidi is referring back to Rabbi Yitzchak's statement. Rabbi Yitzchak had said that when you have the rocks that are below 10 tefachim, when they're up to 4 kavim, then they're bottle. And we said that if they're spread out, as long as they're spread out in 5 kavim and in the whole field, then they're bottle, but not when they're all together. So now the Braisa would say that if it's all one rock, if you have 4 kavim, which is all one rock, then even if it's only less than three tefachim tall, it wouldn't be bottle. But the Rashbam doesn't like that explanation because where do we see anything about 3 tefachim or not? Where do we get an idea that 3 tefachim should make a difference? Anyway, a different explanation of Sela Yechidi is that. A different explanation of Sela Yechidi is where it has a unique name, where it's a rock that has a certain name of its own, that the Tosfos brings, that it means that it has a shem levi. People call it Sela Ploini, the such and such a rock. So now, even if it's in the middle of the field, so here the Rashbam is explaining it's by the edge of the field, and therefore it's not Batel, Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos learns that it means that it's a rock that has a distinctive name, and therefore it's not Batel to the field, even if it's in the middle of it. Then Tosfos goes on to bring another girsa that when it has yeshle beis roiva, when that rock is at least the area of a roiva kav, which would be one quarter of a kav, which would be an area approximately 10 by 10 amos. Then it doesn't get measured as part of the base core, because again, according to the Rashbam, it's by the side of the field rather than in the middle of it, therefore it's not bottled to it. And according to Tosfos, because it has a distinctive name of its own. Furthermore, if the rock was right near the edge of the field, afilu kol shehu, then again, even no matter what the size, ein nimdat ima, then it's not measured together with it, because again, the fact that it's next to the edge of the field means that it shouldn't be bottled to the rest of the field. So the Gemara continues, boi rapapa mufsak ofer ben tayim mahu. So what would happen then? We're saying if the rock is near the edge of the field, but there is a little bit of dirt between the rock and the edge of the field, less than three tefachim. So you have the edge of the field, then you have one or two tefachim of empty space, and then you have the rock. So now, would the rock be considered, would the rock, given that it's less than 10 tefachim tall, be bottled as a field or not? Or maybe not. Maybe you need a space of at least 3 tefachim over there for it to be significant, because then at least it's possible to get through the side over there. So again, the Gemara says tehu. And boi rabashi, and rabashi has another question. What about ofer milamata with sunma milamaila? What about What about if you have underneath the rock, there's dirt, and then you have the rock is on top of the dirt, or Ofrim L'mayla v'tzun m'lamata, or the other way around? What about if you have dirt on top and the rock on bottom? In other words, you have less than three tefachim of. So what happens if you have if you have dirt underneath it, and then you have the rock closer to the border, or the other way around? What if you have the rock is on the surface, and then within three tefachim of that, you have the rock is fairly shallow, and then you get a little bit below it, and you get to dirt. So therefore, how do we measure it? Does it count? Is that rock bottle to the land or not? And again, the Gemara leaves it as teiku. Fine. Mishnah continues. Base core offer on imerchalach mide bechel. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we just said where he says, "I'm selling you a base core of dirt." And we discussed what exactly is included in that base core or not. Now he says, "I'm selling you a base core of land, mida bechevel, measured with a rope." Now, measured with a rope suggests a more exact measurement. Ropes, and in those times, they used ropes in general to measure land. We've learned before, for example, that you have to be careful. We learned in a previous perek, for example, when you're measuring land, you have to be careful not to measure for one in the summertime and the other in the wintertime, because the rope shrinks or expands in different seasons. In Psukim, it shows that ropes are used for measuring Yechezkel when the Malach is showing him the third base of Mikdash Shibot and Yamenu, shows he's measuring the lengths of walls and things like that with ropes. And in general, you have in Tanakh, you even have sometimes the word chevel, which means a rope, is used to mean a portion of land, like Yaakov chevel nachalosei from last week's parasha, or like chevel nafli libaniimim, because ropes were used to measure land, and therefore it came to mean a portion of land. So here he says, "I'm selling you a base called mida bechevel, measured with a rope," which suggests a more exact measurement. So unlike in the previous Mishnah, where we said that there's a certain leeway for how much for what's going to be included or not. So now, pichas kol shehu yinaka. So now, if he gives him any bit less than a base core, he has to deduct from the price. Posu kol shehu yachzer. And if he gives him anything extra, then the buyer has to return him the extra or pay him extra money. Now, the Rashbam points out, we learned previously that when you have, and now we have the concept of Aynah. So first of all, Aynah doesn't apply to land. But here you're talking about there's a misunderstanding as far as the size of the land. However, the Rashbam points out, we also learned previously on Daf Tzadik, that when you have things that are measured or weighed or whatever, then even if there's a small difference, then the whole sale is bottled. Because if you, for example, if you went and bought a dozen eggs and it turns out there were only 11, it's less than today, no, but nevertheless, you expected to buy 12. So why don't we say over here that the sale is bottled because there's less land than he expected. So first, the Rashbam says, because there's a difference between metalkalin and land. When a person buys land, a person is willing to buy whatever is available, even if it's a little bit more or less than he expected. As opposed to metalkalin, yes, a person expects the exact amount. And even when he said, "I'm selling you mida bechevel," all he meant is, in other words, fine, depending on what we find out. When we actually have it surveyed and we find out that's a little bit more, a little bit less than a base core, then I'll adjust the price accordingly. So that's how the Rashbam learns. Then there are different other Rishonim talk about different angles on this. Why we don't say that the sale is bottle. Tosfos explains that we're talking about where the buyer saw the land. He saw the land to begin with. He knows he wants to buy this land, unlike in the previous Mishnah, where he's just buying a base core without specifying which one. Here he saw this land. So he knows which land we're talking about. He just doesn't know the exact size of it. So he knows to begin with that's maybe not necessarily an exact base core. And then you have the Rashba gives an explanation that in general, when we learned before on Daf Tzadik, when we said that when you have a little bit too much or too little as far as the measurement or the weight or whatever, that mekach bottle, he learned it doesn't mean literally mekach bottle. It just means that he has to return him the overage. So then the same thing over here, he has to return him the overage. Okay. V'imoma hein choser hein yasser. What about on the other hand, the flip side of it is if he didn't say now. So far we said base kor ofo generically. That was the first mission. Then when he said midah b'chevel, we're there. We say that any amount above or below the base kor, he has to adjust the price. Now what about if he tells him to begin with hein choser hein yasser? I'm selling you approximately a base kor. It might be a little more or a little less. So then, afilo piches roiva l'sa. So then, even if it's less by one roiva per sa, a roiva again is a quarter of a calf. There are 24 quarter calves in a sa. So even if it's less by 1/24th, or hoise roiva l'sa, or it's more by 1/24th, then the sale is valid. Higia literally means it reached him. I mean, in other words, the sale is valid, and what he got, he got what he got basically. So even though it's a difference of 1/24th. If it's a difference of more than that, yasa cheshbon, then they have to make a calculation and they have to adjust the price accordingly. Mahu machzuloi. In that case, what is the seller? What does the buyer return to the seller? So mois, he pays him money. In other words, so the guy gave him too much. The guy gave him here it was supposed to be a base core, and now it turns out instead there's a base core. Plus a core again contains 30 sa. So now it contains more than 30 roivas, where they were saying that now the price has to be adjusted. So now the Chachamim made a takana. Instead of him giving back the land, the extra land, instead he should give him money. So the point is, in other words, the Gemara is going to explain. We're talking about where the price of land has still stayed where the price of land is still as still stayed. So the Gemara is going to discuss actually what happens in terms of the prices over here. Are we talking about where the prices went up or down or stayed the same? If they still stay the same, then Ashbam points out, then it'll be up to what the Mocher wants. If the Mocher wants back the extra land, then he gets that back. And if he wants money, now the point is, if we have, for example, it was a base kor, and he gave him, let's say, eight extra base calf, which is eight extra kavim, which is 32 roivas, eight kavim is not significant enough to be a field by itself. So therefore, so he has his choice. Do I want those eight kavim back, even though it's really too small to be considered a field? Or would I rather have money? And again, we'll learn about in the Gemara what happens if prices go up and down in between. So the imrotza, so if the seller wants machzuloi karka, then the buyer returns him karka. The lama omru machzuloi mois. So why did the Chacham start by saying he returns the money? Liyapis kochashol moicher. It means in order to improve the situation of the seller. She'im shiur b'ksada base tisha kabin. What happens if the overage amounts to 9 full kabin, which is enough to be considered a field by itself, over gina, or if it's a garden base chatzi kab, then it would be an area that would be a half a kab, is significant enough to be a garden, or chadivra rabakiva base roiva, or according to rabakiva, all of this was at the beginning of the Masechta. There had been a discussion in the first parak of the minimum size that's considered a field, or the minimum size that's considered a garden that's worth working, basically. So then he would return him the actual land, meaning, in other words, again, if let's say, so now he said, I'm selling you a base core. In the end, he sold him a base core plus 9 extra kavim, which is much more than the tolerance we said, because 9 kavim out of a core is 1/20th, because there are 180 kavim in a core. So now he has to return him the extra. So now the seller may say, you know what, it's 9 kavim. It's enough for me to be a field that's significant, that's worth working on its own. So give me back the land. Then the buyer has to give him back that extra land. But if the seller says, I'd prefer the money, then you give him the money instead. And again, if it's less than 9 kavim, he's more likely to say that, because then it's too small a piece of land for it to be worth working anymore. And the Mishnah says, in fact, he wouldn't return only the roivas in that case. Elas kolamoso, he would have to return all the extra. We wouldn't say, in other words, let's say, so he gave him 9 kavim. We wouldn't say, well, listen, a tolerance of up to 7.5 kavim, 30 roivas, is reasonable, because you said hein choser hein yeter. Therefore, I shouldn't have to give you back the whole 9 kavim. I should only have to give you back a kav and a half. We don't say that way. No, once you have all of that land goes together, and therefore he gives him all, and therefore he gives him all of it. We had a discussion about it a few days ago in the Gemara, where we had a question when a person makes a mistake when a person person makes a mistake in counting or measuring or whatever. We talked about when we talked about with Ana and with other things, when we say that he has to return the whole thing, or does he have to return the whole thing, or does he only have to return part of it? So this was one of the examples where we said he has to return all of it no matter what, because all the land goes together, and the whole point is 1.5 kavan by itself is not really enough to constitute a field. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow more details about these dinim, about when a person is selling land and what he specifies and what he doesn't specify in terms of the size of the field.